Welcome to The Living Word with Chuck Davis.
The Fall of Babylon, Revelation 18, 1-24. After this, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was made bright with his glory. And he called out with a mighty voice, "Fallen, fallen is Babylon the Great. She's become a dwelling place for demons, a haunt for every unclean spirit, a haunt for every unclean bird, a haunt for every unclean, detestable beast. For all nations have drunk the wine of the passion of her sexual immorality, and the kings of the earth have committed immorality with her, and the merchants of the earth have grown rich from the power of her luxurious living." Then I heard another voice from heaven saying, "Come out of her, my people, lest you take part in her sins, lest you share in her plagues, for her sins are heaped high as heaven, and God has remembered her iniquities. Pay her back as she herself has paid back others, and repay her double for her deeds. Mix a double portion for her in the cup she mixed. As she glorified herself and lived in luxury, so give her a little measure of torment and mourning, since in her heart she says, 'I sit as a queen, I am no widow, and mourning I shall never see.' For this reason, her plagues will come in a single day, death and mourning and famine, and she will be burned up with fire. For mighty is the Lord God who has judged her. And the kings of the earth who committed sexual immorality and lived in luxury with her will weep and wail over her when they see the smoke of her burning. They will stand far off in fear of her torment and say, 'Alas, alas, you great city, you mighty city Babylon, for in a single hour your judgment has come.' And the merchants of the earth weep and mourn for her, since no one buys her cargo anymore, cargo of gold, silver, jewels, pearls, fine linen, purple cloth, silk, scarlet cloth, all kinds of scented wood, all kinds of articles of ivory, all kinds of articles of costly wood, bronze, iron, and marble, cinnamon, spice, incense, myrrh, frankincense, wine, oil, fine flour, wheat, cattle and sheep, horses and chariots and slaves, that is, human souls. The fruit for which your soul longed has gone from you, and all your delicacies and splendors are lost to you, never to be found again. The merchants of these waters who gained wealth from her will stand far off in fear of her torment, weeping and mourning aloud. Alas, alas, for the great city that was clothed in fine linen, in purple and scarlet, adorned with gold, with jewels and with pearls, for in a single hour all this wealth has been laid to waste. And all shipmasters and seafaring men, sailors and those who trade in the sea, stood afar and cried as they saw the smoke of her burning. What city was like the great city? And they threw dust on their heads as they wept and mourned, crying out, 'Alas, alas, for the great city where all who had ships at sea grew rich by her wealth, for in a single hour she has been laid waste. Rejoice over her, O of heaven, and you saints and apostles and prophets, for God has given judgment for you against her.' Then a mighty angel took up a stone with a great millstone and threw it into the sea, saying, 'So will Babylon, the great city, be thrown down with violence and will be found no more. And the sound of the harpist and musicians and flute players and trumpeters will be heard in you no more. And a craftsman of any craft will be found in you no more. And the sound of the mill will be heard in you no more. And the light of a lamp will shine in you no more. And the voice of the bridegroom and bride will be heard in you no more. For your merchants were the great ones of the earth, and all the nations were deceived by your sorcery. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all who have been slain on the earth." The Bible is filled with competing cultures. Basically, there's two primary competing cultures, the city of God and the city of man. We see in the story of Abram that he lives his life between Ai and Bethel. Ai is the city of destruction and Bethel is the city of God. There's a battle between Babylon and Jerusalem. Unless Jerusalem consider itself the seat of God's presence, when it doesn't act in the way it's supposed to, the prophets call it out as having unholy alliances and playing the role of a harlot. If you read through these passages very clearly, you see over and over that there are several marks of a city that's not what we would call a holy city. They leave the true God out of the equation, sensuality and justice, worship of products, creation, not the creator, violence, deception, and counterfeit living, and simply idolatry. I guess the hallmark could be said, this city glorifies itself. But God invites us to be a part of a different city, a counter image, a holy city, a city which is oriented towards God. And I would say that in this passage, the so what is a question: to which city will I be oriented? Daryl Johnson, in his commentary, says, remember, Rome is but one temporal embodiment of Babylon. Remember, John uses the image of Babylon to critique Rome because the people are under such severe pressure, he didn't want to put more material into the hands of the oppressors as they worked against the church. But if Rome is but one temporal embodiment of Babylon, so is New York and Paris and Lagos and Bangkok, all seats of empires that are usurping the glory of God. What's the so what of this passage then? It's a celebration of divine justice. I hear in it the echo of the Psalms. I know I've said this multiple times, but if I read these revelations from Jesus from a comfortable chair in the ease of my life, I'm going to miss it. But the echo of the Psalms is, how long, O Lord? How long will we live in exile? How long will your temple be in disrepair? How long will your new temple, the church, be in such disrepair? God's justice is always restorative before it is punitive. There's no vengeance that is self-centered in God, as if to say, I'm going to get even. He wants justice because he knows it's good for us. At the core, that's why we want justice, though we tend to be more given to justice for ourselves than the justice for others. It's hard for us to enter fully into this picture unless we've experienced a lot of injustice in our life. And I think that makes it hard for many of us. My now what then is to hear the cry of the oppressed behind the text. The cry of one saying, how long, O Lord? And so, Lord, today I ask you to give me eyes as I move to a Christmas that will be filled with lights and comfort and joy and family. I recognize that there are people who will not experience that in my own world. And when I go out to the majority world, it will be even more difficult. Help me to hear that cry. And so, Lord, not to despise that your justice will come, but to delight in it, that you will restore for those who have not had the opportunity. And Lord, where I might work for restorative justice, empower my hands that I would be one who thinks about those who are marginalized in our society. Pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.